Good morning, New Life Alliance. It's a privilege to be able to read scripture here openly, in public. All week long, we face the world, the confrontation with sin and those who would deny the Savior. And here, we get to read God's word openly. It's really a blessing. This morning, I tell you what, singing, "When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees." That's me. That's me. From the mountaintops, Bible says, because of these things, people are without excuse. So today we're reading Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. This was about Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved."
Thank you, Mr. Elder. So, where's some of my scholars? Who wrote the book of Acts?
Luke.
So Acts is kind of the continuation, right, of Acts. It's kind of the continuation of where the Gospels have left off. It's kind of an accurate account of the early gatherings of people in the early church. This particular book is filled with theology, lessons for life. Acts begins where the Gospels kind of leave off, the ascension, the establishment of the fellowship of the church, choosing of another apostle, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God upon people, Peter preaching, healings taking place, people getting saved, people choosing to follow Christ and joining in the cause. This is kind of where we find ourselves in this particular passage. Peter and John speaking, preaching. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And the temple guards and the Sadducees and the priests, they were all greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So there's your first one right out of the gate. There's proclamation. They're talking, they're speaking, they're boldly professing, and they're getting in trouble because of it. Have your words ever gotten you in trouble? And I don't mean just, you know, scripture words or gospel words or Jesus words, just have your words the words you choose ever got you into trouble, of course. But Peter and John, they're teaching. Are you ready? Make sure you understand what they're teaching. They're teaching life after death. He's teaching resurrection. Teaching and preaching and healings are taking place. Healings and preachings and teachings all in the name of Jesus. In Jesus, he's talking about a resurrection. Proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And so there is a reason why it's significant that it's the Sadducees and the guards and the priests, because the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so they're speaking against something that they don't want them to say, so it lands them in jail. They were preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your resurrection in Jesus Christ. Now, if you know anything about Peter, you know this isn't always the case. Proclamation. More denial. Do we know this about Peter? Peter's overcoming his own failures, isn't he? And living for Jesus. Peter's the man who denied him, not once, not twice, but denied Jesus and knowing Jesus and having been with Jesus three times. And Peter, along with all the other followers of Christ, were hiding. They were living in fear for their lives. They were ashamed and guilt-ridden, and they'd been disgraced. And something happened. Something happened to them. Or should I say, someone happened to them. What happened? Jesus happened. Jesus happened. Somebody say, Jesus happened. See, Jesus turned their mess into a message. He turned their trial into a testimony. A resurrected Jesus made himself known to them. The Holy Spirit empowered them, and now they're different. They've been impacted, and now they're impactful. And they held nothing back anymore. There's no more hiding. There's no more denying. They're stepping out and saying and proclaiming in Jesus. They were all in, completely devoted, completely loyal, completely steadfast, completely dedicated, come what may. Now, some things have an impact, and maybe they last a week. Some things have an impact, maybe they last a month. Some things have an impact, they will change your life. When a meteor hits the earth, it leaves a crater. When a volcano erupts, it buries cities and forms new islands, changing the landscape. There's impact. When an automobile hits another one, it leaves a dent. Or hits a guardrail, it leaves a dent. When a tornado swirls through the landscape, there's often a destructive path you can follow exactly where it's going. And when a painter paints upon a canvas, he leaves a mark. He creates a picture. When a pen scribbles on a piece of paper, he's making a note, writing a song, writing a poem, writing a story. When your fingers are hitting the keyboards on your phone, it makes an impact. Makes an impact. Oh, she caught me. She caught me. It makes an impact, right? So your fingers are hitting the keypad, you leave an emoji. You leave in a text. Makes an impact. When something has an impact, it leaves an impression. It leaves a mark. When someone has an impact, it leaves an impression. It leaves a mark. When Jesus hits your heart, he has impact. He's going to leave a mark. People say, oh my goodness, what happened to you? Jesus happened. Hey, what happened to you? Maybe you'll catch on. These men were marked men. They were marked men. Changed men, because Jesus happened. I'm a marked man as well. Jesus made such an impression on me, I started reading his book. I started learning about who he was. I started writing songs. I started journaling my experiences. I took missions trips around the world. I started preaching. I started teaching. I started leading others, and I still am, years later. And I've heard it all. I've heard it all. I wasn't educated enough. You were not trained enough. You didn't go to the right schools. You don't have the right clothes. Your hair's too long. You're way too young. You're way too nice. You're way too kind. You're way too graceful. You're the wrong gender. You're the wrong ethnicity. But people kept showing up to hear about Jesus. There was no mistaking that someone had had an impact in my life, and I kept proclaiming it. I kept speaking it. I knew that I knew nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came in weakness and fear and much trembling, but I kept showing up. I kept preaching. I kept serving the Lord. My message was not with wise words or wisdom or persuasive words. My message was with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men accomplishments, but on demonstration in the Holy Spirit of God. I was a sanctified mess. Creating a sanctified mess. Guess what I still am? A sanctified mess. Creating a sanctified mess. Jesus had an impact. Jesus happened. And Jesus hits your heart, your mind, and soul. Brace for impact. Brace for impact. It's going to leave a mark. You'll be marked by the Holy Spirit of God, the Most High God. I pray the Lord has such an impact on your life that throughout this new year, joy shows up on your face, that light beams out of you, healing fills the very depths of your soul. Positive words of encouragement flow out of you in the midst of darkness, in the midst of bitterness, in the midst of hatred. You dog some people. Love oozes out of you. Kindness comes forth from you. You proclaim the truth. Your life may be a mess, but it's a sanctified, Holy Spirit-filled mess. You might be in financial straits, but you're still filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You may struggle in this very flesh and blood, but your soul is filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that when you face opposition, you proclaim with boldness. When you face persecution, you proclaim with boldness. When the fiery darts of the enemy want to entice you, you proclaim with boldness. When doubt starts to creep in about your faith, I pray you proclaim with boldness. When confusion settles in and you can't understand all the mysteries of a great and majestic God, I pray you proclaim with boldness. I pray God leaves a mark on your life that is so noticeable that everyone around you see a God-sized dent in your soul. I see some of the marks here. I can see the impact of God, people's lives. See the impact of Jesus Christ right in this fellowship. Sometimes the imprint looks like a dent. Sometimes it's twisted. Sometimes it even leaves a scar. But I know God will take all your trials, all your tribulations, and all your sufferings, and he will turn them into proclamation of his good name. I don't care if you've denied him once, twice, or three times. I don't care if you've turned away. I don't care if you've cheated or lied. Jesus forgives, and he heals, and he empowers you. That's the Jesus I know. Someone's going to look at you and go, well, what has happened? Jesus happened. Anybody got scars? Got scars? Chicks dig scars, man. Scars. Look at the scars. Something you ever compare? Like, oh, you got this scar. Well, check this one out, right? Look at that one. Look at this scar, right? Sometimes we do the top of tragedy. My scar is bigger than your scar, right? Scars are impacts that you've overcome. They're impacts that you've overcome. Victories that you can proclaim. Some got little scars, some got big scars. I got a scar right here on my finger. It never went away. A couple decades later, got a scar on my finger from scuba diving, pulling myself down to like 40 feet on an anchor rope, on an anchor line, cut myself on barnacles. The scar's still there. And blood, by the way, 40 feet underwater looks very different than on the surface. Surgery scars, people got some surgery scars. People have surgery scars. Mom's got some scars. Mom's got stretch marks. There's a victory scar if I ever saw one. Right? Come on, moms. That's a real scar. How about scars that you never see? Like wounded hearts. Shattered dreams. Fragmented egos. Lost hopes. Broken pride. Now to leave some scars. Sometimes they're even more painful than the ones you can look at. God knows we get dented. We get beat up. Jesus got some victory scars too, doesn't he? We're all going to get beat up. We're all going to get dented. Brace for impact. In Jesus, turn from denying him to proclaiming him. In Jesus, turn from avoiding him to seeking him. Turn from the fear of man to the fear of God. Turn from this world to the kingdom of God and brace for impact. Think eternal value, not blue book value. Think eternal value, not market value. When the Lord has an impact on you, you can't stop proclaiming or talking about him. You just can't quit. Your declaration is, Jesus saved my soul. Jesus touched my heart. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my way of thinking. Jesus changed my attitude. Jesus left a mark. When your proclamation is about Jesus, your proclamation is going to lead to persecution. There's your next one. So, if I was to ask some of you, hey, I would really love to hear your testimony about how the Lord came into your life. Would you be willing to give it? Be willing to give your testimony? If I asked you about, hey, what happened? You say, Jesus happened. I said, tell me about it. You willing to tell me? Willing to tell me? Willing to tell me? They see a lot of nods, heads. Others are going, please don't come to me. Please don't pick on me. I don't want to stand in front of people. I don't want to. So you'd probably give your testimony. You'd share what Jesus happened. Would you be willing to share your testimony if it landed you in jail? Would you be willing to give your testimony if it meant imprisonment, impossible, you're getting your head chopped off? See, now you know Peter and John's dilemma. They're making their proclamation, but it's going to end them up on death row. If I said the persecution of the church led to the growth of the church, would you believe that? Would you believe that the persecution of the church led to church growth? We all want church growth, don't we? Are you willing to suffer persecution for the growth of the kingdom of God? You know, Pastor, that's not really the prosperity gospel that I came to hear. Tell me about how I might be rich and famous. Tell me about how God wants me happy. Tell me about how God's favor is all upon me. See, true biblical proclamation, not just one part of the gospel, but the full biblical proclamation that is made to you, the gospel leads us into a very different type of path, into a very different understanding, a deeper understanding of how God works in people's lives and how God works in the advancement of his kingdom. The declaration of Jesus as our Savior turns us from sin and enables us to carry our cross. In this country, we are free to proclaim. Thank you, Mr. Elder, for even pointing that out. Hallelujah. We are free to proclaim. And oftentimes, we make all the worship about ourselves. The music that pleases me at the best time for me, the atmosphere that I want, pews or cushioned chairs, the people that I want to be around, a place where I might feel safe and comfortable. Peter and John were not safe and they were not comfortable. Are you sure you want to be a disciple of God like them? No. I want to be a Western, you know, hemisphere Christian, where it's all about me, my preferences and my wants and my needs and my desires and what I think it's supposed to look like and what I think it's supposed to be, where I feel safe and comfortable. Peter and John are not comfortable and they are not safe. We have such a consumer Christianity, and this sounds like a rant I was going on. We have such a consumer Christianity all around us, we serve it up on a buffet for your choosing. In fact, you don't even have to leave your house. You don't even have to get off your big, fluffy couch. We will spoon feed you. Just tune in. Don't forget to send your donation. That's not biblical Christianity, folks. That's a self-serving religion that strokes your ego, tickles your ears, makes you feel good about your laziness, and spits on the fellowship of believers that have gathered here. We're blessed to live in a land and to proclaim the freedom. We are able to gather freely and read the word. We dare not take it for granted. Salvation leads us to an understanding that God loves me, and I discover his ways, and I exalt his greatness, and I relish his mercy, and I experience his grace, that I may make him known, that I experience all of this from God, and I give it away, and that I may testify about what he has done. Here, in my own little corner of the world, out there in the next state, and even around the world. Here, there, everywhere. See, folks, it's not just about you. It's not just about you. It's not just about Peter and John. It's not just about them. It's about something bigger. It's about the cause that they're investing their very lives in. It's about them that do not yet know. It's about them that are lost. You know, it's about people. It's about people that are in the dark, that are hurting, that are wandering, that are isolated, that are bound for the wrath of God. There we are in proclamation. Salvation can be found. There's rest for your soul. Why are you so anxious? Jesus can take it. Why are you so upset? Why are you so burdened? Why are you so heavy on who's going to be the president? Don't you know you serve the King of all kings? The Lord of all lords. And there are some that stand ready. Ready and able. Ready to preach. Ready to teach. Ready to pray. Ready to anoint. And they're willing to face the testing. They're willing to face the trial. They're willing to sacrifice in order that the gospel might be advanced. We would call them international workers. You might call them a pastor. I say it's the congregation. It's you. You're the church. You're the advancement of the gospel. David Platt said it this way. David Platt's the author of Radical. Many have drawn a line of distinction, assigning the obligations of Christianity to a few, while keeping the privileges of Christianity for all. We're privileged. There's no question about that. We really don't face harsh persecution in this land. We face some opposition. Yet, it's so easy to become complacent and distracted by the ease of our lives and full of excuses for not fulfilling the mandate that God has given us or fulfilling the calling that God has upon our lives. If we would just become more like Jesus, everyone around us would just love us. The truth is, if we all became like Jesus, the world would hate us. Despise us and want to take us out like they did Jesus. They would hate us, and all the while we would be loving them, speaking the truth. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you sure you want to be a disciple of God and walk in his ways? The gospel is offensive to some, and it's going to leave a mark. Brace for impact. Peter and John went to jail because they preached Jesus. Jesus is Savior. In Christ there is resurrection. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked, how was he healed? Know this, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man now stands before you healed." If you're asking me what my testimony is, I'm a man who's healed because of Jesus Christ. I'm a man who's whole because of Jesus Christ. Forgiven because of Jesus Christ. And the important part, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If Peter was filled with himself, he would have taken the credit or he would have denied and ran away. Peter can't do it in his own power. Neither can you, neither can I. But filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I can make a proclamation. It may lead to my death, but I'll make the proclamation by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God will get you through the opposition in his name. God can lead you to the place to speak. God will give you the words to speak. This is the Holy Spirit proclaiming through Peter the truth of Jesus Christ. You need the Holy Spirit to proclaim the truth, and it may scare you to say anything at all. But you know, Pastor, if I proclaim Jesus, people might mock me. Well, here's your next slide. If I proclaim Jesus, people might mock me. Well, fear the fear, feel it, and do it anyway. Are you responding to the fear? Then the enemy wins. Are you responding to the terror? Then the terrorist wins. Feel the fear. Do it anyway. Yeah, but if I proclaim Jesus, they might persecute me. Yeah, well, fear the fear. Do it anyway. Brace for impact. Yeah, but, well, people might gossip about me, Pastor. They might talk about me behind my back. I get it. Feel it. Feel the fear. Do it anyway. Brace for impact. Are you that kind of a disciple? Well, I might suffer tragedy. People might misunderstand me. I might even go to jail. I get it. Feel the fear. Do it anyway. Brace for impact. Well, what happens if I invite all these people and they actually start to come? We might not have enough chairs. I might have to talk to a stranger. I might have to lead a Bible study. Brace for impact. You think it's all on the negative side? Get ready. Many were added to the number. Fear. Feel the fear. Do it anyway. Brace for impact. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not educated enough. I'm not trained enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. Again with the excuses? You don't think I've told myself that 1,000 times over? You know how many times I've walked away from this pulpit? Because of people, not because of God. Are you walking away from God because of people? Who are you serving? God, who wants you to minister to those very people. Because it's about the people. Pastor, here's your next slide. What are we doing? What are we doing? Well, this is what we do. We make disciples, we mature believers, and we multiply ministries. That's all we do. That's all I've ever known. I don't profess to know many other things. Jesus Christ and Him crucified in the power of the Holy Spirit. You want a vision statement? You want a direction? You want to know how the church? We make disciples, we mature believers, and we multiply ministries over and over and over and over again. And if we're really good, we can change the language. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to make disciples, we're going to mature believers, and we're going to multiply ministries. You know what we're going to do in South America? You know what we're going to do in Australia? You know what we're going to do in Africa? We're going to make disciples, we're going to mature believers, and we're going to multiply ministries all around the world. Well, I don't want to do it that way. feel the fear, do it anyway. And when they saw, when the Sadducees and the priests and the temple guards even saw the courage, saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished and they took note because these men, they had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Have you spent any time with Jesus? I mean, what has happened to you? Jesus happened. That's what happened. Then they called them, commanded them, hey, listen, we're the elders, we're the rulers. Don't talk, don't speak, don't teach in the name of Jesus. Pretty clear, pretty simple. Peter and John replied, which is right? In God's eyes. I know what's right in your eyes. What's right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judge. Who are you listening to? Who are you following? Who's having an impact in your life? What has happened to you? There's one. See, you make your proclamation, there's going to be persecution. There'll also be production. There's your next one. And many were added to their number. But they're going to jail. And many were added to their number. Yeah, but they upset the priests and the governmental system at the time. And people were added to the kingdom of God. Some will, some won't. Leave it to God. When I was learning about financial services and, you know, learning about how to market products, you know, mutual funds and health insurance and life insurance and annuities and investments, all this stuff, I realized most people said no. They just said no. No, 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 no. I'm not interested. No, I don't want any. No, I don't want to change anything. No, I don't want to talk to you. No, I don't need that. No, no, no. I'd have to hear a couple hundred no's before I ever heard a yes. That's disheartening. That's like persecution. No, 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 not interested, not interested. I hated hearing no. I loved hearing yes. And I realized that carried over when I started preaching the word of God. Some are going to come to the Lord and some are not. Some are going to come to church and some are not. But I kept preaching. I kept serving. I kept honoring. Some are going to come to Bible study. Some are not. Some are going to give to advance the gospel. Some are not. But I just keep preaching. I just keep showing up. See, and when you're in the 82nd Airborne Division, they drop you somewhere. The idea is if you eliminate the enemy, there is no more enemy. So basically that is kill them all and let God sort them out. Well, I just keep preaching and I let God sort it out. I just keep throwing acts of kindness and let God sort them out. I keep showing up. I keep giving acts of grace and giving acts of love. I just keep dogging people and talking about it's about the people. I just keep speaking. I just keep showing up. And who should we listen to anyway? Who am I supposed to listen to? The people that are leaving the church or the God who's encouraging me to proclaim his name? Who are you listening to? Some will, some won't. So what? Let God sort them out. You do what God is asking of you to do. That's your obligation, and that's your priority. Who should we listen to, you or God? I'm choosing to listen to God. And salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. He's even bold in his proclamation. There is no other name other than Jesus Christ, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead. In his name is healing. In his name is resurrection. In his name is salvation. There is no other name. You can play and pray and get on your knees before all the saints you want. It's in the name of Jesus, and Jesus only can save you. You can bow before a bishop or pray to the Mother Mary or have a visitation with the Pope himself, but it's the name of Jesus Christ that brings salvation. You can call on Mohammed, you can call on Buddha, you can call on the sacred cow, but it's the name of Jesus. There is no other name by which mankind can be saved. You can call on the president, you can call on the National Guard, you can call on Pastor Stan and Melinda, but there is no other name by which salvation will enter your soul. It is Jesus and Jesus only. My goodness, what has happened to you? Only Jesus saves your soul. Why? He's the creator of it. It's not complicated for me, but somehow everybody else makes it really, really complicated. Only the creator can redeem his creation. Period. And I know that can sound harsh sometimes, but it's speaking the truth. And speaking the truth might bring you persecution and it might land you in jail like it did Peter and John. But are you willing to be a disciple of God and speak the truth? In the midst of hatred, I will yet love you. In the midst of bitterness, I will yet love you. In the midst of while you're spitting on me and berating me and putting me down, I will yet love you and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, come what may. Because the reality is this. Here's your next slide. The name of Jesus is exclusive, yet it's all inclusive. Do you understand that? Mankind, in the name of Jesus. And at that name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. And with that salvation comes all these promises. In his name, we stand on those promises. Standing with you, Jesus. Even if I'm in jail, even if I'm persecuted, standing on your promises. What are some of those promises? Well, there's your next slide, by the way, promise. We're forgiven in his name. Your guilt is gone. Will you please let 2023 go? Let it go. That's yesteryear. It's gone. It's over. Ask for forgiveness where you messed up, where you've stumbled or stepped on toes. Father, forgive me. Wash me clean. I receive the promises that you have for me, that I'm forgiven and my guilt is gone. And I have peace with you. You're not upset with me, God. In the name of Jesus, I'm at peace with you. May I walk in that peace that the rest of the world may know. I've got a big dent in my heart that looks like Jesus. God's wrath has been satisfied. We have been justified. God's righteousness is given to us, and we are a new creation. Isn't that wonderful? I know it's a new year, but when you make the proclamation, you're a new creation in Christ. You're working out your salvation. You're working through your sanctification. Can you let last year go? And say, this is now. This is the moment. particularly when you come to the communion table. In remembrance of me. Well, what am I supposed to remember, Jesus? What am I supposed to remember? What I have done for you. Reconciled you back to God, that you may be at peace with God, and your sins forgiven. What a great way to go into communion. Let me pray with you. Father, as the elders come forward, Father, I pray that you would minister into our hearts. Prepare us to receive communion in remembrance of what you have indeed done for us. And Father, I thank you that this is an open communion table. Those that profess the name of Jesus Christ for their salvation, may we all partake together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Gentlemen, if you would, just come forward. Pat's a coming. Come on, he's a coming. There you are, sir. There you are, sir. Pat. Colin, would you turn and face the congregation and say a word of thanks for the body of Christ?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and saw
the bread and gave thanks. Give it to them, saying, take this and eat this, for this is my body, which is given up for you. Let us partake together.
amid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the
taken the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take this and drink this, for this is a cup of my blood, spilled out for you for the forgiveness of your sins, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between you and God. Let us partake together." Father, I thank you for the way in which you move upon your people. I pray you continue to minister into our hearts, that we walk in the peace of God and at peace with God. Take our offering now. Mr. Jim, thank you.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Brace for impact. Let's pray. Our God and Father, thank you for this morning's message. We thank you for the encouragement to confront the world, to face the world. And Lord, we know you're always there. Thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you for our livelihoods. Thank you for how you provide for us. And now we just want to return a bit to you. We ask that you take it, multiply it many times over, and use it for your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. Her is the by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With elect from every nation, one or all of the earth, by wisdoms of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued.
Would you stand with me, please? Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, Lord, you will draw water from the wells of salvation and pour it upon me. Go, serve your God. And if anybody asks you, what happened to you? God bless you.